Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Forgotten Conservative. It is official now. Super Governor Ron DeSantis has entered the run for the White House 2024 campaign. Kind of an inauspicious start, but I'll say that as far as reach, the type of reach that you want to get, publicity, although a lot of bad publicity, it was effective. Obviously, by now you've heard that it was kind of a meltdown on Twitter. Depending on your opinion of DeSantis or Republicans in general, it was either a success or a miserable failure. My take on it is it was bold, it was unprecedented, and it was not DeSantis' fault. He's a governor. He governs. He's a leader, CEO of the state of Florida, if you will. He shows up and talks policy, principles, the future, etc. It's Twitter's job, Elon Musk, their staff to ensure all things go off without a hitch. So the only way you could lay some of the blame at DeSantis's feet would be the selection in the first place. I think it was a bold idea. It was a risk. It was taking a chance. It was doing something that nobody has ever done. And sometimes when you take those steps, when you stand up and you do things that are unprecedented and you take chances, that it's not always going to work out perfectly the way you want it. However, I can assure you this, pretty much everybody that pays attention has heard of DeSantis, and despite the negativity from the typical mainstream drive-by media, legacy media, whatever you want to call it, DeSantis got his talking points out. He followed it up later that evening with I cannot stand Trey Gowdy. I do not like him. But nevertheless, he went on to Trey Gowdy's show, whatever show that is. And then later in the evening, he appeared on Mark Levin's radio show. And then, of course, I'm sure he, you know, since then, he's probably done 100 different interviews. So will it hurt him in the long run? No. It's ridiculous to even think so. Some reports DeSantis done before he gets started. It's ridiculous, okay? I can, just off the top of my head, remember candidates like Clinton, who went through scandals of other women, etc., in his original 92 campaign. So basically, the way the voters are now, with the news cycle the way it is, if it didn't happen yesterday, if it didn't happen last week, it ends up being forgotten. You, just like with Biden, if he's on the ticket come next year, you know, November at election time, which I do not think he will be. I've said that in a previous podcast. I do not think Biden will be the nominee. But if he is, he will still garner at least 47% to 48% of the vote, which you're probably talking somewhere in the neighborhood of 70 to 80 million, if trends go from the last election. So, and it could be more, could be 82-83 million. So he's still going to get the Democrat base. He may not get 100% of the base, because they may end up staying home for whatever reason, but that's a different story. So look at his miserable presidency so far. Look at all the blunders. Look at all the mistakes. Look at the gibberish that half the time you need an interpreter. The stumbling, bumbling episodes that he has. Shaking hands with thin air. People don't give a shit about that. Okay? He's probably going to campaign from his basement again. And he's still going to garner 45 to 48% of the total votes cast. So to say that this launch is going to hurt DeSantis is again, is horse pucky, because it's not. It's not going to factor in. So I want to kind of go over, now that DeSantis has entered, there's still a few more, probably all rhinos left. The only exception would be Mike Pence. I would not consider Pence a rhino, even though he's fell out of favor with me. I know at one point, I don't think I mentioned this in the previous podcast, the Biden v. Trump part two, but I can remember sitting in my parents' house at the very beginning of COVID. I think I'd come back for a few days off the road, and Pence giving a press conference and making the comment to my dad, you know, as much as I was a Cruz supporter in 2016, if the next election comes up, you know, assuming Trump wins and then Pence decides to run, I told him I would vote for Pence over Cruz at that time. And that was God's honest truth. I would have, because at that point, probably March, April-ish of 2020, so a couple of months into the pandemic, Pence not only had become a valuable tool to President Trump, he was taking leadership. So, when I say leadership, Trump had appointed him as the COVID czar, or whatever his official COVID, head of COVID response unit was, whatever that title was. And Pence was, at that point, again, 2 months into the pandemic, was doing a brilliant job. So, I think now, let's go ahead and cover Mike Pence. Okay, again, he hasn't announced, so I don't want to spend a whole lot of time. But he's in the media. He's sucking up every TV set that he can, criticizing DeSantis to an extent from the left, using certain leftist talking points. I saw an interview with George Stephanopoulos, the little munchkin that helped get Bill Clinton elected Speak of the Devil. He, James Carville, and Hillary Clinton were the on the task force for the bimbo eruptions, as Rush Limbaugh used to call it. So every time some bimbo popped up accusing Clinton of an affair or harassment or rape, these three would go into attack mode. Carville, who's euphemistically labeled as a raging Cajun, said of one such bimbo, quote unquote, that all you would have to do is put a dollar bill on a fishing line and drag it through a trailer park, and she'd go chasing after it. That's a paraphrase. It's not a quote from memory. We're talking nearly 30 years ago. All this woman did was simply accuse Bill Clinton of sexual harassment, and this was Carville's reaction. Not that it could have any shred of truth, not disputing the facts that she was alleging, i.e. time, place, potential opportunity. So, you know, if somebody accused me of cheating and said, and I said, okay, what are you talking about? Well, you remember, for instance, let's say if it was a coworker, we had to stay overtime and work that night for inventory, or a late client meeting or something. Well, there's a date, there's a time. Maybe there's texts, or you know, maybe I had little league practice, or you know, but disputing the allegations on the surface, saying, well, it can't be true because at the point you alleged this, I wasn't even there. I was in a different part of town. I was at a dinner, a function, etc. No, they just trashed the women. And Hillary Clinton, George Stephanopoulos, and James Carville, that was their primary focus during that campaign. So in this interview with this Munchkin creep Stephanopoulos, Pence says, I'm for Walt Disney, not woke Disney. So there's a little play on words. And talking about, you know, DeSantis was right in that you don't want sexualization of children underneath the third grade. And he thought that it should have been expanded, which eventually parts of that bill were expanded through higher grade levels. But then he goes on to attack, saying, I'm a small business conservative. Or no, check that. I'm a small government conservative. So I wouldn't have reached into Disney's corporation. Okay. Pence has now jumped on that bandwagon. Nikki Haley, I believe Vivek Ramaswamy has also, in a more delicate manner, jumped into that argument. Trump certainly has. And this is what I mean when I say Trump is attacking, or DeSantis says Trump is attacking from the left. I don't know that Tim Scott, the senator from South Carolina, has. I don't know about Larry Elder. Elder has been in the race. Scott recently joined. Asa Hutchinson, former governor of Arkansas, has definitely attacked DeSantis on that front. So let's take a brief look at what the hoopla is all about with DeSantis and Disney. What does Mike Pence mean? Asa Hutchinson has said it. The former governor of Maryland. I cannot think of his name off the top of my head, but he's also flirting with joining the field. All these guys, Nikki Haley, are attacking DeSantis for saying, this is a corporation. Pass the bill not to sexualize our children, but leave it there. Okay, Disney had carte blanche control over a huge parcel of land, probably thousands of acres. They had their own fire department. They had all this, everything they controlled. And it worked for 50 years, okay? The problem DeSantis had with Disney, aside from Disney getting into the fray, because as Pence says, a small government conservative, limited government conservative, you want to let markets prevail. You want as little government intrusion as possible. So that's the guise of which they're attacking DeSantis. When you give a corporation, any corporation, tax breaks, special privileges, then you do that as an incentive primarily to bring jobs to the community and or state or country, okay? So you want jobs and you want the dollar flow in whichever economy. So that's the two primary reasons why any type of government gives these types of incentives. A few years ago, Amazon was looking to permanently move its headquarters. New York was one of those. Now, AOC ruined it for New York, and it cost New York City tens of thousands of jobs, probably 20 to 30,000 jobs. She wanted Amazon to pay taxes and this. And so, in other words, New York City, who had promised certain tax breaks, maybe a 20-year property tax exclusion. Okay, these are things that are done all the time. I can remember here in Jacksonville, there was a Maxwell House plant, I think it was in New Jersey, and of course one here in Jacksonville, and they were going to close one. So these cities had to vie, sweeten the pot, and ultimately Florida, Jacksonville ended up winning. Now, I'm sure New Jersey put up a hell of an offer, but when you're talking about high tax states, income tax states, if all things are equal, 20-year exclusion on property tax, you know, this, that, and the other, if all those perks are equal, the simple fact of high corporate taxes and state income taxes, well, you're talking about a lot of money, right? Just in that right there. So if you're a corporation, which state do you move to? You're going to move to the state with fewer taxes. So that's the type of benefits that Disney has enjoyed over these 50 years. What that cost the state of Florida was a lot of tax dollars. So they take those tax savings, and this is what DeSantis, one of his main arguments were, is you cannot take those state savings, taxpayer savings, and then use that money to pay lobbyists, to pay, what do they call it, public relations firms, to hold these quasi-press conferences with media-friendly types, quote-unquote conventions. You can't take the savings from the taxpayers of the state and then use that against the taxpayers of the state, which is what Disney was trying to do. If you want your kids subjected to any type of sexualization, any type, heterosexual, homosexual, transsexual, you know, whatever, any type of sexualization, if you want your children in that bill, third grade and under, subjected to any sexualization, you're a sick MF-er. Okay, first and foremost. But certainly, you should not have a corporation using taxpayer money to fund that. Okay? That's the biggest problem that DeSantis had with Disney, is that you're enjoying all these savings and you're taking, rolling that money into paying millions and tens of millions of dollars. So when I look at somebody like Pence, Nikki Haley, who's turned out to be a huge disappointment, and these people attacking from the left on this particular issue, okay, specifically small government or limited government conservative, okay, the conservative part should first and foremost be protecting constituency and their rights, especially when you're talking about children. Also part of small or limited government conservatism is doing, you can't do away with, but limiting lobbyists and special interest groups as much as possible. How many times have we heard both parties over the years accuse each other of being there for the corporatists, being there for the lobbyists, being there for the special interest? What Disney was doing is exactly that. Lobbying special interests, corrupting our kids. That's all that DeSantis was saying is, okay, you, any company in the state can do it. But you better make sure that if you're going to do it, you do it on your own dime. You don't do it at my taxpayers' expense. That's the big deal. I happen to agree with it. Okay? If a company is getting millions and millions, tens of millions of dollars that no other company is getting in the world, mind you, not the state, not the country, no other company is getting this type of break in the world. And then you're going to take that break and use it against the people in your own state. And DeSantis said no. So when these people attack DeSantis on that, and they try to disguise it as he's anti-conservative, Trump, Pence, Haley, all these people saying, wait a minute, you know, this is big government type of politics. They know that they're full of shit. If they are conservative, they know precisely that they are full of shit. And or, which I would say and, that it's a talking point to beat up DeSantis, because eventually it's going to come down to DeSantis and Trump, and they just want to be there waiting in the wings in case one or both of them have a meltdown, so to speak. So, but I also remember Pence on the Religious Freedom and Restoration Act that the state of Indiana did in 2014, 2015. So they signed a law saying, and this, you know, you had these gays and trans people going into all these different cake stores, bakeries, you know, hardware stores, whatever it was. And they would say, hey, photography. That was a popular one. Hey, I'm marrying, you know, my buddy over here, or, you know, my partner, and we want you to cater the wedding. We want you to photograph the wedding, you know, whatever. And so primarily the biggest or widest known case was, I think it was a bake shop. There was one in Colorado, I believe, and one in Oregon. I think both ended up making it to the Supreme Court over different issues, technicalities or what have you. But so that's what Indiana was trying to head off at the pass. People have a right, if something is against their religious beliefs, to basically not participate. Okay, so they signed this bill. Pence signs the bill as the governor of Indiana, and the nation erupts. All the media, all the wackos, all the progressive Marxists, all the rainbow people just freak out. They were threatened with boycotts and you name it, just like Georgia over the voting rights bill. Baseball pulled out, you know, all the shit they went through. Just like Arizona went through with the 9-page immigration law that the governor, I want to say Jan Brewer, but that may not be right. 9-page immigration bill that, in essence, did nothing but restate federal immigration law, and people boycotted Arizona tea. Well, they didn't even know. They were too stupid to realize Arizona tea ain't made in Arizona. I think it's made in New York. I don't know where the hell it's made, but I believe it's New York. And people were boycotting Arizona tea over a law that's 9 pages that does nothing but reinforce, or not even reinforce, replicate, literally in as few words as possible, existing federal law. And there was a huge outcry. So Pence and the Indiana legislature ended up caving, and I thought from memory that it was a repeal, but I think what it actually was they signed an amendment to that law saying you could not discriminate based on sexual preferences. So they kind of split the baby. And then they ended up, they still pretty much had people pissed off on both sides. That was a case where some news team went door-to-door businesses all over Indiana. Finally, in Podunk, BFE, somewhere in Indiana, small town, 2,500 people, 3,000 people. They find some mom-and-pop pizzeria. They didn't ask the owner. They asked, I think it was the daughter of one of the owners. Hey, if some, you know, gay person come in here and wanted y'all to cater a wedding, would you? And she said, no, we're Christians. We don't believe in that. Bible's against it, blah, blah, blah. And buddy, that's all it took. It hit every news cycle. It was all over the country. The pizzeria ended up having to close down for about a week or two, reopened, and ended up going out of business maybe a year or two later. Anyway, So that's the type of person or conservative that Mike Pence is. When he faces pressure, when he faces criticism, then he backs down. He also made the comment in that Stephanopoulos interview that Disney pulled like a $1 billion contract to play to place its headquarters or part of its headquarters. He said, no wonder Disney pulled that plan, and I don't blame them. Well, guess what, Mike Pence? And here's another thing. And this that goes for Haley and all the rest of them. Okay, and again, you either know it to be factually inaccurate and or you don't know what you're talking about. All you have to do is look at Disney's stock prices. Understand that Disney has had, as far as I know, one round of layoffs, several thousand people, with two more layoffs planned over the next year, year and a half. All told, Disney's probably going to shed about 10,000 employees. So it doesn't make financial sense with Disney planning on laying off 10, 12,000 people to move and build a headquarters anywhere, whether it's Florida, Tennessee, Texas, or even in California. If you're laying people off, if you're losing money like a sieve, okay, why are you going to spend this capital for a new facility anywhere in the world? It doesn't matter where the plans were. If Bob Iger, the CEO, said, I'm pulling the plug from Florida because of Ron DeSantis and all the hateful, mean, you know, half-orange Republicans, and I'm going to build this in Costa Rica or California or Mexico City, but I'm pulling the plug from Florida and I'm building it elsewhere, the board of directors would fire his ass lickety-split, because it would be a horrible, disastrous financial move to spend that kind of money when you're firing people left and right. Not to mention horrible financial, but from a PR standpoint, he'd probably get more criticism just from the PR, from the as they say, optics of it. So for Pence and all these other politicians to try and pile on DeSantis, saying, yeah, look what happened, Disney pulled the plug, they were going to pull the effing plug anyway. If they actually had planned, and in fact, now that I think of it, I think they had decided to pull the plug 6 months ago, 8, 10 months ago. I don't know. But the point is that they all know that this was going to the trash heap anyway, regardless of what happened with that bill, whether it was passed or not. While I'm on Pence, I think all that being said, that still, you know, doesn't, no politician is perfect. DeSantis isn't, Reagan wasn't, Lincoln, Washington, nobody is a perfect candidate. There should not be any candidate that any individual, sentient individual, agrees with 100% of the time. Certainly not Donald Trump. Nevertheless, so I preface it with that to say, such, for example, if Pence gained the nomination, okay? However, my biggest probably criticism with Mike Pence, I think, certainly bigger than the Indiana law, and then certainly this rhetoric, because this is an easy subject, the Disney woke subject, it's an easy pile on. And it's a way for him to separate himself from a big, bad, mean, homophobic, racist, bigoted, homophobe like Ron DeSantis. That's easy pickings, low-hanging fruit. As Pence was head of that COVID task force, he should have fired Fauci and he should have fired Deborah Birx. At minimum, within 3-4 months. He wasn't on the ballot. Trump was on the ballot. He should have fired both of those doctors. He should have taken the heat. And if need be, he should have been the sacrificial lamb. That's probably going a little too far. But he was the head of the task force. And it was obvious that none of them knew what the hell was going on. And that's understandable. That part of it is. But when you flip-flop back and forth, and you're telling people, believe me this time, and then as soon as Fauci got a little bit of that limelight and that affection and adoration, well, his head swole up and he became too big for his britches. Not to mention the fact that he couldn't get jack shit right. And he was telling everybody else across the country, mask up, stay inside, do this. Same with Deborah Birx. And what do you know? Here they both pop up here and there in public, baseball games, you name it, not wearing a mask. Or if they had a mask, they were not social distancing and the mask was below their chin, which obviously does no good. Because half the time you couldn't walk into a store in certain states with a mask or a flight without some blankety blank saying, you're going to have to put that over your nose. And here, these two are prancing around spewing bullshit and breaking every rule they're enforcing. That's the, you know, the popular saying. Oh, I forget now that I want to say it. Your parents used to give you this version. Do as I say, not as I do. That was the parents' version. Oh, what's good for thee is not good for me. Some variation of that. Okay? But I think Pence should have fired both of them. And I think, I don't know if that would have saved the election for Trump, but I know as a leader, that's what should have been done. And I hold Trump, or excuse me, Pence personally accountable. Now, ultimately, yes, it's the president's call. President can't do it because of the, what, class? Little Johnny in the back. He couldn't do it because of the optics. Exactly. The optics. That close, you're in election season. Trump couldn't do it because of the criticism and the optics, which is understandable. That's why Pence should have stepped up to the plate, been the leader that he claims to be, and fell on the sword. Because if Trump would have won re-election, 4 years from now, Pence would have looked like a genius. Well, let me rephrase that. 4 years from the summer, fall of 2020, Pence would have looked like a genius. Because now we know that we were constantly being lied to. Look, in hindsight, how wonderful that would have been after 8 years of Trump and Pence throwing his nomination into the ring and saying, I'm the one that fired Fauci and Deborah Birx. I made that decision. But see, he can't do it now. That's the difference between a leader and somebody who goes along to get along. A leader like DeSantis taking a bold move never attempted in political history and taking a chance versus somebody who's going to play it safe. I don't want my president to play it safe. I want my president to be aggressive. To say, here's an example. Trump attacks DeSantis on one of many things, but the 6-week abortion ban here in Florida that DeSantis signed into law. So whether it's a debate or whether it's just DeSantis in an interview, and see, it's so just like these other candidates jump on DeSantis over Disney and low-hanging fruit, these same politicians, Larry Elder, Nikki Haley, Tim Scott, who else is in it? Vivek Ramaswamy, Asa Hutchinson. I believe that's all. Oh, no. There's some dude from Montana. I think he's a former attorney general. He actually was the first. He actually declared 4 or 5 days before Trump did. Nevertheless, so these other politicians using that Disney low-hanging fruit against DeSantis, when Trump makes a statement attacking DeSantis that 6 weeks is too harsh of an abortion ban, here's low-hanging fruit. Well, I would ask the former president, respectfully, if the 6-week ban is too harsh, at what point would you limit the killing of an unborn child? At what point, Mr. President, at what point, President Trump, is it okay to stop killing a human being? You tell me, Mr. President, when it's okay to commit murder. See how easy that is? That's when I say low-hanging fruit. And see, that's the difference between somebody that jumps on a political talking point versus somebody who has conviction and principles and has policy initiatives based on conviction and principles and morals and common sense. Because when you say a 6-week abortion ban is too harsh, well, then you're advocating that a baby who reportedly has a heartbeat, you know, all this stuff is developed. Okay, so at what point is it okay to murder somebody? Okay, you tell me. You made the statement, Mr. President. No, don't hem haw around. Okay, don't say it's states' rights. Don't give me none of this hogwash, effing malarkey, political rhetoric bullshit. I'm asking Donald J. Trump, as a principled human being, at what point does Donald J. Trump think it's not okay to kill a baby? Give me your personal conviction. And you put that person on the spot. But see, none of these other people in the ring, Ramaswamy, Haley, none of those people want Trump swinging back at them. Because Trump won't answer the question until he's put to the task by somebody like DeSantis. But you see how easy that is? What else has Trump attacked DeSantis? Well, first of all, you know, I said in my previous podcast, I don't think Trump will be the nominee. Okay. If he refuses to debate like he's claiming, it will be lights out for Donald J. Trump. I do not think, not only, obviously, I don't think he'll win the nomination, but I don't think he has any chance if he doesn't debate these people. I just can't see it happening. So that's a huge political error, because just like Joe Biden with the debt crisis saying, I won't negotiate, there will be no negotiations. He didn't meet with McCarthy and the Republicans for 97 days. All of a sudden, we're getting down to the wire, and what's he doing? He's negotiating. So as a politician at that level, you don't, quote unquote, draw a red line on something that you may have to back down from. Excuse me. Okay? Like Obama did with the leader in Syria. Okay? There's all this stuff, and it's okay. You can kill people all you want to, but you can't gas your own people. You can't use chemical weapons against your own people. The Geneva Convention after World War I, that you can't do it. So it's my red line in the sand, but really it's in the Geneva Convention. Okay, just ask Ricky Bobby. But if he does that, then he crosses my red line. Well, what did the fucking, excuse my French, what did the asshole do? He ended up gassing his own effing people. What did Obama do? Nothing. Diddly squat. So that's why you don't, as my father would say, you don't let your mouth overload your ass. Now, albeit that was in a different context, because I tended to be a smart ass, and just my nature, whether or not it was intentional, it often came across as being a smartass. Nevertheless, I digress, as they say. Here's another attack. Bullshit, typical attack from the left. And if DeSantis wins the nomination, this will be an attack from the left during the run-up to the general. DeSantis voted 2, 3, 4 times to raise taxes on middle-class or lower-class Americans by, I think it's 20 or 23 or 25%. Again, another bullshit, low-hanging fruit attack that these politicians know is horse-pucky. What DeSantis voted on was the abolition of the IRS and the income tax. That's what he voted on, to do away with a huge, bloated, out-of-control government agency that every president damn near since FDR first started using it as a weaponization, mechanization. Okay? The amendment to collect income taxes, I believe, was passed under Wilson in 1917. Virtually every president since FDR has used the IRS in some way, shape, or form to go after political opponents, whether it was within their own party or whether it was from the other party. FDR used it. Kennedy used it. Who followed Kennedy? LBJ, he used it. And so when Nixon came in and followed LBJ, he thought, well, hell, I'll use it. And of course, everybody attacks Nixon for it. And then Clinton used it. I don't know about Carter. Obama used it. Biden's using it as we speak. So it wasn't that DeSantis voted to raise income tax or to raise taxes in general. If you do away with the quote-unquote income tax, you have to replace that stream of revenue by something. I've been a proponent of the fair tax since maybe late 90s. So going on 25 years now. So when you work, if you make $10 an hour and you work 40 hours, when you get your check on Friday, you get a $400 paycheck. Government doesn't dip into it. Now, when you go to buy a loaf of bread, when you go to buy a boat, no matter what you buy, you're paying a federal 10% sales tax. That would generate a massive amount more revenue than the current system. And you eliminate the IRS. Just think about that. Listen to those words. Eliminate the IRS. Think of the money, one of the Biden pieces of legislation, whether it was the Inflation Reduction Act or the infrastructure bill, just approved $90 billion for 87,000 IRS employees. And the sales tax would totally eliminate all of that. And these politicians know it. That's why it's low-hanging fruit and it's bullshit when they use that to attack DeSantis from the left. Again, they won't attack Trump on anything he says, but they'll use this low-hanging fruit to attack DeSantis. Then he attacks DeSantis, Trump that is, on COVID. He follows the Rebecca Jones. Who is Rebecca Jones? She used to work for the state of Florida, maybe HHS, and claimed that Florida was using deceptive practices to report their COVID numbers. Well, there was an investigation found. The allegations were found to be untrue and false, that Florida was indeed reporting accurate numbers, and so she was promptly fired. But Trump's using her talking points as a disgruntled, debunked former Florida State employee to say that DeSantis and his administration fabricated COVID numbers. And again, it's a bullshit attack. I've also heard, which of everything, this probably surprised me more than anything, that DeSantis did a worse job than New York Governor Andrew Cuomo. Now, Andrew Cuomo, who was killing old people left and right, giving them an express, like in Disney or Universal down here, you buy an express ticket so you don't have to wait in line and you go straight to the front of the line. Cost you probably, I don't know, maybe $100, but you never have to wait in line. So you get an express ticket. Well, Cuomo was given elderly people an express ticket to the effing morgue with a memo that said, you can't refuse old people with COVID, COVID positive, from the hospital. So if you're a nursing home with the most vulnerable members of society and somebody is diagnosed with COVID, otherwise ready to be discharged from the hospital, you have to accept them. And tens, probably hundreds of thousands of elderly New Yorkers died. And then it was, hell, I knew about it. I knew about the memo in March of 2020, maybe March 26th, 28th, 2020. And Trump says, DeSantis did a worse job protecting his constituents than this asshole Cuomo. Don't worry, killing a bunch of old people don't matter, but don't touch a woman's butt, you know, which ultimately is what done in Cuomo. Not to mention the fact, Cuomo was celebrated by the media. He would have been the 2020 nominee, okay? He would have been. He was a rock star, okay? But for you to say, after this man nearly every single day attacks you as the president and says, the people dying in my state are the president's fault. The people dying in Florida is the governor's fault, but the people dying in my state is the president's fault, which is what Cuomo was saying. And so now, 2.5 years later, you're going to elevate this evil, maniacal, arrogant, narcissistic, privileged governor, ex-governor, shamed governor, that was forced to resign as a governor. And you're going to put him above, basically, your own governor, since you're a Florida resident. Mr. President, I'll tell you like I've told dozens of Yankees, no offense, in my lifetime. Mr. President, if Ron DeSantis is indeed that bad and has ever been worse than Andrew Cuomo, well, Mr. President, I-95 works both ways. You can take your ass right on back up to New York. Respectfully, Mr. President. Anyway, we are drawing close to the end of time here, end of the podcast. I am not Nostradamus espousing sonnets about the end of days, but we're getting close to the end of the podcast. I'm going to see, I've taken some notes. I think I pretty much covered everything. Pence, again, he hasn't entered the race. It's widely accepted that he will. Also, fat ass Krispy Kreme, Christie, a.k.a. the New Jersey Zeppelin, hasn't entered the race, as with the former governor of Maryland, and still his name escapes me, as with the governor of New Hampshire, who is Sununu, maybe Chris Sununu? I know his daddy was John Sununu. So he's a Bushy type rhino, and trust me, I will get to coverage of Sununu at some very near point in the future. So that'll wrap this episode up. As always, thank you for listening and joining and playing along on The Forgotten Conservative.